You are listening to the Over the Line Show with Joe Jewett and Jack DeVos. The Over the Line Show airs every Sunday from 7 to 9 on News Radio 610 WTBN.
I said shake, rattle and roll. 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 Well, you never do nothing to save your doggone soul.
News Radio 610 WTVN, Joe Jewett and Jack DeVos on this Sunday night with you, as we are every Sunday night. It is Over the Line. Jack, how are you?
I am doing well. I guess soon with daylight savings time, it'll be Sunday evening, since the sun's not going to set for another 2 hours in a couple months.
Do you do that? It doesn't count by the time. The difference between evening and night is not the time.
I think it's the amount of daylight that's out there.
It's the amount of light
out there. So still technically right now, I think it's night. It's dusk. The sun's going to set around, 7:45 still, but, in the middle of July, the sun seems to be out until almost 9:30 sometimes. It's crazy.
I never thought about that before, that's a distinction.
Well, these are the things I think about, okay?
Because there's a portion of the year where, you get up in the morning. Our buddy Ian is with us as well. How you doing, Ian?
Hey, how's it going?
There's a portion of the year when, you go out to work early in the morning and it's still dark versus, It's pretty bright. So would you say, I didn't go to, did you do okay getting to work this morning? Oh man, it was the middle of the afternoon. There was a lot of sun.
Well, no, because afternoon is a specific time for afternoon. So that doesn't work. But evening and night don't have a part of the clock associated to their name.
Okay.
So you can't say it's afternoon at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Because noon hasn't happened yet.
Okay. So it's the middle of the day. You can say it was the middle of the day. No, because mid implies.
Yeah.
You want to catch me on the map, don't you?
I guess it'd be dawn versus morning.
Hmm.
Think about it. Get back to me later after you've had some time to deep dive on this subject.
Certainly give this all the due consideration.
Are your brackets doing, Joe? Your champ's still in it.
The
guy you picked, the team you picked to go all the way, still in it, so you've got a shot.
I want you to know.
And Ian, do you fill out brackets at all?
I do not.
Okay.
I want you to know.
Well, then you can just sit over there and listen, I guess.
That I want you to know that I don't follow college basketball. Though I sort of pay attention at bracket time. So, I wouldn't have been paying the slightest bit of attention, really, up until Wednesday or Thursday of last week.
Right.
So, when I filled out my bracket, I went, I don't know this one. That was pretty much how.
Well, I think you still have your final four together. My bracket.
Is that right? Do I?
I don't know. I'll check during this thing.
I'm going to bring it up here. You go ahead.
Because my brackets are dumpster fire. And I do a tradition every year where I have one of my daughters pick a first round for me. They pick the first round based on the mascots. So I print out pictures of all the mascots and then they pick which team they think's going to win just based on the doggies or the wolves or the cougars or whatever the heck the mascot is.
Yeah.
And then after they fill out the first games, I then just go with the top seed from there on out.
Yeah.
And I had my 8-year-old do it this year and she picked the biggest upset in college basketball history.
Yeah.
And let's listen to it now because I recorded it back on Wednesday.
Right. As is the tradition for me as a degenerate gambler, I fill out lots of brackets for my NCAA tournament picks. And one of those brackets, I always have my daughter help me pick based on who she thinks is going to win simply by the mascot of each team. So I have my youngest daughter, Reagan, with me. Reagan, say hello to everybody.
Hi, guys.
Reagan, tell everybody how old you are.
I am. Okay, so if you've seen the other one me and my sister did, I said 8-7, but now
just tell them how old you are.
I'm age 8.
Oh, thank you so much. You don't have to deep dive into your birthday, okay? And hold the microphone up to you. There you
okay.
go. All right.
Kidoke.
Okay, so what I have here is I've printed out all of the mascots for you, all the pictures of the mascots, and I'm going to ask you who you think is going to win based on these pictures, okay?
Okay.
All right, so we will start here, okay? We're going to start with this matchup. It's the Cavaliers
versus the Retrievers. Who do you think's going to win?
The Retrievers.
You think the 16 seed Retrievers are going to beat the number one overall seed Virginia Cavaliers?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay. All right. So after that, we have the Bearcats versus the Panthers.
Bearcats.
Okay, you're going Bearcats. All right, now we have the Volunteers versus the Raiders.
Volunteers.
Okay, now we have the Wildcats versus the Buffaloes.
Let's see. Wildcats.
Wildcats. And then we have another team called the Wildcats versus another team called the Wildcats. So do you think these Wildcats will beat these Wildcats, or these Wildcats will beat these Wildcats?
I noticed something. They all have the same mascot.
Yeah, there's a lot of Wildcats. So we have the Kentucky Wildcats versus the Davidson Wildcats.
Let's see. Kentucky.
Kentucky Wildcats. You know, that's who Morgan picked to win everything.
All
right. So next we have the Miami Hurricanes, which is this bird here, versus the Ramblers.
I choose Miami.
You choose Miami. Okay, and then we have the Wolfpack versus the Longhorns.
Wolfpack.
Wolfpack.
My sister's in the Wolfpack at school.
And then finally, ending this bracket, we've got the Blue Jays versus the Wildcats again.
I'm gonna pick the Blue Jays.
The Blue Jays. All right, that finishes out that bracket. So next, we're going to come over to this bracket. We've got the Villanova Wildcats, and they're going to be taking on the Radford Quakers.
It looks like they have one, so I'll do Wildcats.
You're going to do the Villanova Wildcats. Okay, then we have these guys. They're called the Boilermakers versus these guys who are the Titans.
I will do the Boilermakers.
You'll do the Boilermakers? You like the guy with the sledgehammer?
Yeah.
Okay. These guys are called the Red Raiders, and they're taking on a bunch of Lumberjacks.
Oh, okay. It just looks like Texas one. It says Texas.
So you want Texas? Texas Tech?
Mm-hmm.
You want the Red Raiders?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Then here we have the Wichita State Shockers versus the Marshall Thundering Herd.
Shockers.
The Shockers. He does look kind of crazy, doesn't he? Here we have the West Virginia Mountaineers versus the Murray State Racers.
West Virginia.
West Virginia. You're picking all the top seeds here. Now we have the Gators, and they're going to be taking on these guys who are the St. Bonaventure Bonnies, and they've got kind of like a wolf.
Gators.
The Gators?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Then here are the Arkansas Razorbacks versus the Butler Bulldogs.
That guy.
The Razorbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're going with all the top seeds here. And then finally, we have the Virginia Tech Hokies versus the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Bet you can't guess.
You're going to go with the Hokies.
Yes.
Okay. All righty. That's it for that region.
Okay.
Next, we have the Xavier Minutemen. And this is to be determined. Will he be taking on the Eagles or the Bear guys?
I don't want to risk anything of them losing because they're the top team.
So, okay, so you're going to go save your Minutemen. Okay, here we have the North Carolina Tar Heels versus the Lipscomb Bisons, which are a type of buffalo.
I really wanted the Eagle to win, but he's the top guy.
Okay, so do you like the North Carolina?
Yeah.
Here we have these guys. Boo! Michigan Wolverines! Or the Montana Grizzlies. Yay, Grizzlies! Who do you want to pick?
Since it's Michigan, I will do Grizzlies.
Thank you. That's why you get extra dessert tonight.
Yay!
All right, now here is the Gonzaga Bulldogs versus the UNC Greensboro Spartans.
Who do you think's going to win?
Who do I think's going to win?
Uh-huh.
You're the one making the picks.
I want your opinion on this.
I think Gonzaga Bulldogs. What do you think? Do you like the Bulldogs or do you think these guys?
Yeah.
You like the Bulldogs? Okay. All right, here we have the Ohio State Buckeyes versus the South Dakota Jackrabbits.
Always going to be Ohio State.
Always going to be Ohio State. That's right. Ooh, maybe you'll get two desserts.
Yay!
The Houston Cougars versus the San Diego State Aztecs.
Mm.
Now, don't just do the numbers. Look at the teams.
I really like that guy, though.
You like the Cougars? Okay. All right, now we have the Texas A&M Aggies versus the Providence Black Friars.
Well,
Daddy almost went to Providence.
So which one's your opinion?
Well, it doesn't matter. It's your. I want
to
know.
I just want to know your opinion.
My opinion is one of these teams will win. Which one do you think will win?
That guy.
You like the Aggies. All right. And then we have the Missouri Tigers versus the Florida State Seminoles.
I want you to guess.
No, this is why you're here, is because you're supposed to guess.
Okay, I'm that guy.
The Tigers? Mm-hmm. All right, this is our final region. All right, so now we have the Kansas Jayhawks versus the Pennsylvania Quakers.
Jayhawks.
All right. Then we have the Duke Blue Devils, Mommy's favorite team, versus the Iona Gaels.
I'll do Duke for Mommy.
That's right. Michigan State Spartans versus the Bucknell Bison.
Michigan
State. Okay.
No, not Michigan.
It's Michigan State, not Michigan.
Oh, good.
All right. Then we have the Auburn Tigers versus the College of Charleston Cougars.
Cougars.
Okay.
That's
fine. That's fine. Here are the Clemson Tigers. So it's either Tigers, Buffaloes, or Wildcats. Clemson Tigers versus the New Mexico State Aggies.
Clemson.
You like Clemson? Okay. Here are the TCU Horned Frogs, and they're either going to be facing the Sun Devils or the Orange. Who do you think is going to win? Horned Frogs, Devils, or an Orange?
That guy looks, since it's in black and white, it looks kind of like Bendy, so I'm going to pick that.
All right, so you're going to pick whoever the 11th seed is. All right, and then we have the Rhode Island Rams versus the Oklahoma Sooners. And what a Sooner is some guy who is trying to do a real estate deal versus a Ram.
Let's see. I'm just going to...
You're going to do the Rams. All right, and then we have the Seton Hall Pirates. So Pirates versus the North Carolina State Wolfpack.
That guy.
You like the Wolfpack?
Mm-hmm.
All right, there you go. Thank you for helping me choose. I will put your picks in. We'll see if you win.
Bye, guys.
Drop the mic.
She's beating me.
She can win our whole thing.
Yeah.
She can win our whole thing.
Yeah.
She picked up until... those games, what was it, Friday night? The number one seed was 135-0. Now they're 135-1, and it was the very first game she picked. She picked the Maryland Baltimore County Retrievers to upset the Virginia Cavaliers.
Well, she's got me so far.
And she's got me, too!
Yeah.
There you go.
I need to know her system.
Her system is... I just was showing her pictures, and then she started just looking at the numbers.
Yeah.
So she went straight chalk most of the regions.
All right. Well, there you go. All right. We've got a lot going on tonight. Ian's going to be with us through the show. He and I will battle each other in popcorn wars a little bit later on. Also in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll talk to Campy. Campy's going to give us his thoughts on the sadness that was the,
Yeah, we'll recap a good season. We'll recap a season that was not expected to go this way.
Jack's a glass half full guy.
I am a glass half full guy when it comes to the Buckeyes this year.
Yeah. Well, speaking of being positive, our trip to the Over the Line graveyard is is coming up next. We'll hit a break here and then more Over the Line on News Radio 610 WTVN. It's Over the Line on News Radio 610 WTVN. Joe Jewett and Jack DeVos. Our buddy Ian sitting in with us as well tonight. Well, our Over the Line graveyard has another soul in it this week.
Yeah, and I was actually surprised. I mean, I understand he had ALS,
mm-hmm.
and he was in his 70s, I believe.
Yeah.
But you just didn't think he was going to go.
Yeah, Stephen Hawking. Yeah. Stephen Hawking, the famed scientist, theoretical physicist, passed away on Wednesday at the age of 76. He was just 21 years old when diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, and was told then that he had just a few years to live.
Yeah, exactly.
So he certainly exceeded those expectations.
Yes.
Hawking became a celebrity in 1988 with the publication of his A Brief History of Time. It's one of the best-selling books about science ever. Let's see. He went on to do a whole bunch of things. Obviously, he brought a lot of attention to scientific things, public honors. Included the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which was awarded by Barack Obama. He was portrayed by Eddie Redmayne in the 2014 film The Theory of Everything, which is a great movie. Eddie Redmayne won an Oscar for that. Made cameo appearances on The Simpsons. His voice was in a Pink Floyd song called Keep Talking. He was also in episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, Futurama, and The Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, he was almost he had a lot of appearances on The Big Bang Theory. I think he had two or three appearances on The Simpsons as well.
Okay.
And the first appearance of The Simpsons was all the way back in the 90s.
Yeah.
So
we don't have a whole lot of scientists that achieve that.
No, he was like a rock star scientist. It's like him and Einstein.
Yeah.
You know, there's posters of Einstein with his tongue hanging out. You know, you don't achieve a level of celebrity as a scientist.
No, it's sadly. Like in current times, it's like him and Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah. Yeah. Neil deGrasse Tyson and you know, Bill Nye, the science guy, who
sure.
is, you know, because they use the medium of television to really help out.
Yeah.
But Stephen Hawking was famous before he started making cameos on TV.
Sure. Of course. He just sort of. So I probably in some ways brought more attention to his work, brought more attention to science, and it was just nice to see like a guy whose claim to fame is that he's incredibly smart get a lot of attention.
The smartest man on the planet.
Yeah.
You know, and that was something to look up to. But I mean and he was in a he could barely he couldn't move at all, could he really?
No, when he was first in the wheelchair and, you know, using the mechanical to, technical whatever to move around and talk and whatever, he still at that point had the ability to use his hand. But for so long now, it's just been a single muscle in his cheek.
Wow.
Is what allowed him to, continue to function, I guess. So Stephen Hawking passing away this week, and that's our trip to the Overlying Graveyard. We've got a lot more coming up for you when we return. Indonesian villagers kill a were-tiger. What's a were-tiger? Maybe we'll find out. Bottom of the hour news ahead as we continue here on Over the Line, News Radio 610 WTVN.
WTVN. It is the Over the Line show here on News Radio 610 WTVN. Jack DeVos, Joe Jewett, and our special guest Ian Boone with us this evening. Later on, Ian and Joe will be playing Popcorn Wars. Are you ready for that, Ian?
Absolutely.
Excellent. Now, Ian, Joe teased the story before we went to our break about a rare tiger. It seems that Indonesian villagers have killed a rare tiger that they believed was actually a shapeshifter. In a remote Indonesian village, villagers who were becoming increasingly fearful that a shapeshifter was hiding out in their community killed and disemboweled a rare Sumatran tiger on Sunday because they thought that it harnessed supernatural powers. Wonderful, huh?
You get, like, jailed for that, don't you?
That's
like a federal crime.
Yeah, the bloody carcass of the critically endangered big cat was photographed hanging from beams covering a public gathering space in a village called Huta Penanga, which is in North Sumatra. Unfortunately, they would not listen. They insisted on killing the tiger because it was a shapeshifter, said Hatmulali Sinatria, the regional head of Indonesia's Natural Resources Conservation Agency. He told this to Sky News, which is out of Britain. After killing the animal, the locals hung it up for its body, hung up its body for display. It's very regrettable. Now, authorities are investigating the killing. They discovered that the tiger is missing canine teeth, claws, and skin off its face and tail. Now, here's the kicker. All of those body parts can be used in medicine or sold on the black market. Uh-huh. So, shapeshifter, right? So there you go. Says activists had said the tiger had been prowling the area for more than a month. It had injured one person before it was tracked down and executed. The tiger was sleeping under a resident's stilt house when the people struck it repeatedly in the abdomen with a spear. The attack reportedly left two villagers seriously injured because when you attack a tiger with a spear...
They typically don't like that. No, they will fight back.
They will fight back. When you poke a tiger, you know, if he hollers, let him go, was the old adage, but they apparently didn't. They just kept poking him in the abdomen with the spear. Conservation officials kept telling the villagers to leave the tiger alone. They kept saying, no, it's a shapeshifter. It's a wizard. It's a magic tiger. We gotta kill this thing before it destroys the entire village and then sell its body parts on the black market. It was not immediately clear why the villagers believed the tiger was anything more than just a tiger sleeping under a house. Only around 400 of the big cats are estimated to be left in the wild, according to the World Wildlife Fund. In Indonesia, anyone caught hunting tigers could face jail time and steep fines. But despite increased efforts in tiger conservation, including strengthening law enforcement and anti-poaching capacity, a substantial market remains for these tiger parts to be used in medicines. So the Conservationist Society once again said, we explained to the villagers that the tiger is an endangered animal. But they didn't like our way of handling this situation, which was not to poke the tiger in the abdomen with a spear. So there you go. So police are still investigating. Nobody in the village is snitching on each other, so they don't know who exactly was the one who killed the tiger or took away its body parts.
Would it have been in that, you said the WWF, right?
The World Wildlife Fund, yeah.
Not the...
No. The World Wildlife Fund and the World Wrestling Federation.
Maybe that would have worked a little better.
They sued each other way back, I think, in the late 90s,
and
early
WWE,
2000s,
right?
And you had to change it. Vince McMahon lost, and he had to change it to the
could
WWE.
Those people have, and I understand it's a roaming animal, but could those? And I'm not blaming them per se, but like
I'm blaming the villagers.
Well, no. The Federation, the WWF, could they have gone in and like taken that and relocated the tiger?
They could have. The conservation, from what I read in this article, the article is incredibly long. It goes on for pages because it's a big deal.
Yeah, I'm saying, like, aren't at fault, but
apparently this tiger attacked somebody, and then it was sleeping in the village, and they were like, we got to get rid of this tiger. And the Conservation Society was like, okay, well, we can get rid of the tiger, but before they came in to do anything about the villagers had grabbed a spear and said, it's a shapeshifter! So I don't get... I mean, that's Paul! He's at it again! So, yeah, it's kind of a crazy way to get rid of a tiger.
Yeah. You can't fix dumb, man. I tell you.
Well,
let's just stab it.
Yeah, again, the fact that after they killed the tiger, they then desecrated it for taking stuff and putting it out on the black market, that just kind of shows you that
for sure.
They never
bald eagle, isn't it?
They never really met. I don't know which one in the huddle after it happened decided, hey, okay, now look, we lucked out. This tiger wandered into our village. We can kill the tiger and sell a bunch of its stuff and get money for
But we got to get our story straight.
But we have to get our story straight. What are we going to say when they come and they go, dude, why'd you kill this incredibly rare tiger? What do you think? Oh, well, it was killing people. No, that's too.
And it's missing things.
They'll be expecting that one. If we just tell them the tiger's been attacking people, they'll say, oh, you know, they'll be expecting that. We got to come up with something bold. It's a shapeshifter. It's actually a were-tiger. That's it. We'll go with that one. Okay, I got another story here that's actually very brilliant. A passenger is suing Southwest Airlines for exactly $74,999.99. And the reason why he left off that penny is absolutely genius. Apparently, there are two airports servicing tiny Branson, Missouri. Do you know of Branson, Missouri?
Vaguely familiar.
It's kind of like a Christian Disneyland.
Okay.
It's a tourist destination. They have all sorts of wholesome family entertainment. For decades, it's been a destination for tourists to go and enjoy. Again, like I said, wholesome family entertainment without having to worry about outside influences that might make the kids, you know, jumpy or whatever. So
it's what I look for when I go to an airport.
It's the town, and they have a tiny airport that services the town. At the time, they had regular Southwest Airlines service, and then there's a smaller airport nearby called the Taney County Airport, which just services the county. And Taney County Airport would kind of be like Bolton Field out on the west side.
Okay, yeah.
They're just like single engine planes and things like that, small Lear jets. And that the Taney County Airport has a runway that's barely half the length of the regular airport that would handle jetliners. Somehow, the captain and first officer of Southwest Flight 4013 from Chicago mixed up these two airports. They're only 7 miles apart. So Chicago Flight 4013 ended up landing at the wrong airport, which is the tiny Taney County Airport. So they put a 747 at the airport that's too small. Now, nobody was physically injured when they landed because the pilots did their job and landed the plane safely. But passengers allegedly had to wait for 2 hours after landing to get off of the plane, and the plane filled with smoke during that time. No one knows why it filled with smoke, but it filled with smoke. And that would be kind of stressful to be on a plane, not be able to leave, and it's full of smoke. And, you know, you can open the slides on the windows, but you can't actually open the windows. So the passenger sued Southwest. His name's Troy Haynes. He lived in the area, and he had flown into the Branson Airport many times and says that he realized well before the plane landed that they were at the wrong airport. So he looked out the window and, wait a minute, this is the wrong airport because I live here and I know things. So he was immediately struck with fear, he says in the lawsuit, and anxiety over potentially crashing. Because again, having grown up in the area and knowing the airports, he felt that they were going to die because that airport didn't have the runway. So he later suffered severe mental anguish, fear, and anxiety, including a panic attack, which caused him to be removed from another airplane prior to takeoff. So according to him, this traumatized him so much, he tried to fly again, and they went, nope, we're going to go to the wrong airport, I just know it. So he panicked, and he had to get off the plane. Huh. That, in turn, has led him to stop flying, which meant that he couldn't take a job that that required travel. And so he lost out on a business opportunity because of his new phobia of planes. So again, he is suing Southwest Airlines for $74,999.99, and this is why that's genius for him. Because whether or not you think the lawsuit's reasonable or not, if he rounded up to $75,000 even...
I want to take a guess.
Okay, take a guess.
It keeps it in what, small claims?
It keeps it in state court as opposed to having it moved to federal court. You, sir, are a junior lawyer, aren't you?
You know this.
Or you've sued an airline before. Which is it?
The first one.
The first one? For you're sure. A junior lawyer. You've watched a lot of Law and Order, have you?
You know it.
Okay. So, again, there are two U.S. court systems, the federal and the state, and if a plaintiff files a suit in state court, sometimes the defendant can have it moved to the federal court system. It's called removing it in legal language. Most often, the defendant does this by showing the plaintiff and defendants are from different states. And so Mr. Haynes and Southwest Airlines would definitely be from different states since he lives in Missouri, and Southwest is headquartered wherever it's headquartered. But it's definitely not in Missouri. Huh. Who's going to headquarter an airline in Missouri? So there you go. In order to get to federal court, you have to show that the plaintiff and the defendant live in two different states, but also that the amount at stake is more than $75,000. So by keeping it one penny under, he blocks Southwest from removing the case to federal court. And here is why he doesn't want it to go to federal court. 5 months after the incident happened, Southwest stopped flying into Branson for whatever reason. Could it be that their pilots couldn't find the airport? I don't know. Maybe. One of them certainly couldn't. But they stopped flying into Branson, which really, really put a damper on the local economy around the airport. You lose a carrier like Southwest, and you lose gates, you lose staff, bars, hotels, everything suffers because they no longer fly into Branson. So this means that Mr. Haynes, the plaintiff, wants more Branson area jurors to be hearing his case because they're all ticked off at Southwest Airlines for leaving. And the closest federal court to Branson is 50 miles north in Springfield, Missouri. So if Southwest Airlines could remove the case to federal court, they'd be able to take it out of the county where all this happened, which is a community that Southwest deemed not significant enough for its business. So there you go. So because he asked for one penny less, he's going to keep it in state court and keep his juror full of ticked off Brancians. Pretty good, huh?
Yeah, that's incredible.
That's great. I thought that was brilliant. I thought that was a brilliant move by him. All right, we got more Over the Line coming up. Jack DeVos, Joe Jewett, our guest tonight is Ian Boone. And coming up, we will be talking about TV reboots, renewals, things happening around Columbus. Next hour, Campy, Mike Campana from the Over the Line Sports Desk will be joining us to talk about the Buckeyes. Their season ended yesterday in the second round of the NCAA tournament. But the season was great, and we will talk about a season that wasn't expected to be as good as it was with Campy. That's all coming up next here on Over the Line on 610 WTVN.
It's Over the Line on 610 WTVN. Joe Jewett and Jack DeVos. Our buddy Ian Boone with us as well. Some events going on around Columbus this week. The Blue Jackets will host Florida on Thursday night. Comedian Tom Segura, very funny guy, will be at the Funny Bone Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night. So he'll be here for a while. Crew SC hosts DC United next Saturday. And also next Saturday, the Blue Jackets in action again over at Nationwide Arena, where they'll take on the St. Louis Blues. TV reboots and renewals. We'll start off with this reboot. So we talked about a couple of weeks ago, Jack, CBS bringing back Magnum P.I.
Yeah. So far, the casting choice for Magnum, I think, is all right. I'm worried about the rest of the cast.
Well, they're bringing back another successful crime-solving police drama.
Okay.
From the 80s. That was a big CBS hit. Any ideas?
Could be anything. Simon and Simon.
Ooh, you're close. Cagney and Lacey.
Oh, all right. Cagney and Lacey.
Cagney and Lacey coming back. Sarah Drew, who is on Grey's Anatomy, but is done there at the end of this season. She's going to be playing Cagney. That was originally Sharon Gless. Tyne Daly was Lacey in the original. This time it's going to be Michelle Hurd. Who is recently of Hawaii Five-O. The new series will be set not in New York, as the original was. This one will be in Los Angeles. And Cagney and Lacey will have more of a mentor-mentee relationship.
Growing up, was, you know, in the 80s, I was young. I was like 6 or 7 when those shows were on. And I always get Cagney and Lacey mixed up with Kate and Allie.
Oh,
which was a sitcom.
Yes. We all remember Jane Curtin and Susan St. James fighting crime.
So, but for some reason, when I would see Cagney and Lacey, I would thought that those women were Kate and Allie.
Yeah.
And that Kate and Allie were Cagney and Lacey.
Yeah.
So it was just bizarre.
Cagney and Lacey was a good show.
Kate and Allie was a good show.
Yeah. Yeah. Another reboot, a game show favorite, probably one of the most successful primetime game shows in history. Any guesses?
Well, okay. Primetime game show in history?
Yes.
Well, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire was pretty darn... I mean, but that's still on.
Yeah. Ian, you have a guess?
No, I got nothing.
Deal or No Deal is coming back.
Oh, you know what?
I thought that was still on in like afternoon runs. No, they don't do that at all.
The new Deal or No Deal will join the CNBC primetime lineup.
CNBC?
Yes.
Woo, boy. How'd they secure that network?
Late 2018, Howie Mandel is coming back.
Oh, wow. Of course, when you see CNBC backs up the cash truck.
Let's see. It says some exciting new twists.
Okay.
I can only assume means that in each of the cases, they'll have Bitcoin.
One of the cases will contain snakes.
TV renewals. You've got, ABC has made some decisions on some shows here. The Bachelor is going to come back for its 23rd run.
Good. Apparently there's some women out there without herpes that they can still find.
Still trying to get it right.
Yeah.
27th go-around for Dancing with the Stars. That's coming back.
Never seen a single episode of that show.
I just actually started watching it last season.
Yeah?
And I enjoyed it.
Oh, I can understand why it's popular. I can understand why people enjoy it. I have no problem with people enjoying it. I have no problem with it coming back. It's just I've never watched a single episode.
How about this? Do you like seeing people get hit in the nards with a baseball bat? Well, then you're in luck.
Because, the 88th season of America's Family Home Funniest Videos or whatever?
Season 29.
29.
Yes.
All right. Well, at least Carlton still has a job.
And that game show we talked about recently that they've tried out a couple of times before the Olympics with Ricky Gervais and Fred Savage.
Yeah, kids say the darndest thing meets Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader meets Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Child Support.
Child Support.
Yes.
There you go.
Has been picked up for a full season.
The one show with kids that's good is the one, it's like Shark Tank, but for toys.
No, that's terrible.
Oh, I like that one.
I hate that show.
Well, you don't have to watch
it. It's got the dude from Modern Family.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that show was bad.
Well, you don't have to watch
Mostly because the kids are, one of the kids is just terrible.
Okay. Well,
he's just awful.
Sorry you hate kids.
He's one of these kids that thinks that they're clever and misses the mark time and time again. Generally, I love children.
All right, we got to go.
All right, top of the hour news ahead, and then Mike Campana from The Zone checks in with us. We'll talk Buckeyes. Over the Line, 610 WTVN.
I said shake, rattle, and roll. 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 Well, you never do nothing to save your doggone soul.
News Radio 610 WTVN. It is Over the Line with Jack DeVos and Joe Jewett. Our special guest this evening, our friend Ian, who is here in the studio with us. And we also have on the phone line, Over the Line's official sports desk, senior correspondent Mike Campana.
I like that you gave me the senior correspondent
thing. How you doing there?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Oh, we're doing pretty good here tonight. So, the Buckeyes, we're going to recap that basketball season, a season that was unexpected, highs and lows, and they left us wanting more. And it was sorry to see them go, but I'm happy for how they went out. Go ahead, Campy. Jump right in. Tell us all about this season.
Well, I don't know if you can ask for much more. In fact, you got more than what everybody bargained for. Going into the season, you know, they were expected to finish 11th in the Big Ten. And instead, they not only knock off Michigan State, who was number one at the time, then you knock off Purdue, who's in the top five at the time. You go 15-3 in the conference, and you finish second in your conference, and then go 25-9 overall, and lose, you know, what could have been a blowout last night.
Yeah, they got down early and looked awful, and man, they fought their way back. It was a great game to watch for the second half, at least.
Well, you know what's interesting, Jack, is that for a lot of the season, that was Ohio State's MO. I mean, they were down in Northwestern, they were down in Nebraska, they were down 19 to Purdue, they were down 20 to Michigan, and yet found ways to battle back and win. So, you know, yeah, we saw them down 15-0. We're like, oh, God, here it goes again, you know. But they, you know, they started the second half on 11-4 run.
Right.
And they were getting turnovers and shooting the ball pretty well. But I got to tell you, the amount of shots that bounced and rolled around the rim for Ohio State last night was what frustrated me.
Those,
you know,
rims,
rims
were,
they would have played better, but holy cow.
Those rims were tighter than Cedar Point, I swear.
It did feel like that. There were a couple of layups where it's like, how physically, I mean, from a standpoint of scientific theory, did that not go in the basket? You know,
you've got all the math going through your head, and you're like, what physically? Ah,
I know. I was like, how did that not
go in? I mean, and they played Gonzaga early in the year, and Gonzaga blew us out, right?
Beat us. We lost by 27, but you know, it was basically in their backyard in that West Coast grade eight tournament or whatever the hell that was.
Well, this was basically in their backyard too, because I remember watching the first round game where Ohio State was playing the South Dakota State Jackrabbits, and the crowd was clearly rooting for South Dakota State because it was a regional crowd. And then Gonzaga, so they're from Washington State, and the game's being played in Boise, Idaho. So it was a tough break for the Buckeyes to have to go out west.
Well, you know what I found out interesting, and we got our own geography lesson. I produced Jackson and McCoy on The Zone from 3 to 6, and we looked at the travel distance from South Dakota to get to Boise is like 1,100 miles. So they also had to travel a long way, and we sit there and talk about regional, but they had just as long a way to go as we did. So you know, either way, I liked the Ohio State's performance. They ended up playing South Dakota State's style of basketball. I mean, we took 43 pointers, but which is, you know, we ended up coming up with a win, which is it's.
But that's what you have. That's what you have to do in the big dance. You have to adjust to your opponent sometimes.
Absolutely, yeah. But I mean, this is a great step forward. I think overall, Ohio State fans should look at this as just a fantastic season. Kata Bates Diop finishes Big Ten Player of the Year. Chris Holtmann gets Big Ten Coach of the Year. Again, an over 20 win season. I know that, you know, there's going to be a decision to be made on whether, you know, Bates Diop leaves. Is it possible he stays? It's possible. But you lose Jayshon Tate, you lose CJ Jackson, you lose Cam Williams. But, you know, Holtmann has a top 20 recruiting class coming in, and also keep in mind, he brought this team together. Now, obviously, with Bates Diop healthy, made a big difference this year. But when you start taking, when you take over in June and end up with a 25-9 season, that's pretty good.
And there was after he took over, he kind of started cracking the whip. There was some suspensions. Cam Williams was suspended at one point, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. He was out for I think it was 3 games, and you could call it speculation, but I believe Holtmann, now don't quote me on this, had said that he had to get his, you know, had to get his butt in the classroom. So I think that he had, you know, so he was keeping, so no coaches can say, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know my kids were skipping classes. I didn't know my kids, you know, I hate that aspect of it. Chris Holtmann is, you know, he was voted last year as America's cleanest coach, which is a good thing considering what college basketball is probably going to go through in the next 6 months or so.
Yeah, it's good to have the Mr. Clean in our program, that's for sure, because it's going to be
bad. I do have an update for you. The madness continues. The Cincinnati Bearcats, who are up 22 points at half, have lost to Nevada 75-73.
That is 3 number 2 seeds losing today.
Well, my if you would like my bracket, it'll be good for kindling if you need something. But, yeah, it continues because I believe North Carolina got beat earlier.
Michigan State got beat, North Carolina got beat, and now Cincinnati got beat. That's 3 number 2s gone on one day.
And I'm having all kinds of fun because I had Virginia winning the whole thing, and
my brackets are a disaster, but my champ is still in it. I had Kansas going to the end. But I had them playing Virginia.
Well, the good news for me is I still have, if it works out, I still have Villanova, Xavier, and Duke in the Final Four. So the way this continues to open up, who knows?
Yeah. So looking forward to next year. So like you said, I don't know if Bates Diop comes back. Now, he had been hurt for a while, and so this was the first year that he was truly healthy, was really able to show his stuff.
Yeah.
But the bad side of that is that the NBA saw it too, and they're like, yeah, we want this guy. So you think, I mean, if the winds are blowing his way that he's going to be a first round pick or even a high second round pick in the NBA draft, I think he's out of here. But maybe if the scuttlebutt is he's lower second round, he might come back. What do you think?
Well, he was projected at the time number 27.
Okay.
Of players. So, I mean, that's a low first round pick.
Right, right.
So, but again, this is before some of the other teams started keying on him. And, you know, he had a little bit of trouble, he handled the double teams. There was just a point where it seemed as though he wasn't very aggressive. You know, when you watched him change, and maybe he was a little bit beat up, you know, as you go later in the season, you have the tournaments and the back-to-back games.
Yeah, it's a lot of miles on those legs.
Sure,
yeah.
Of course, but, you know, and you have to get used to the fact that in the NBA, there's going to be a lot of matchups like the kind that he faced against Penn State. I mean, Penn State was a matchup nightmare for Ohio State all year, to the tune of 0-3, obviously. But
right.
I think I believe, Jack, that if the projection goes down to high second round, then I would think he would come back. I mean, why not get another year under your belt? Of course, I'm speaking biasly because I'm a Buckeye fan anyway.
And we want to see him again, yeah.
Yeah, if you get more experience and you play even better, the next year, and let's say you get Big Ten Player of the Year honors again, and Ohio State gets deeper into the tournament. Hell, maybe they win the Big Ten next year. Then you're talking about a kid who's, you know, maybe he drops up, he moves up to the, 15 or 16, and now you're talking about real money. And you're talking about, I mean, he's got his future set. You know that as well as I do. But it's just about when he decides to come out. So I'd love to see him stay. I'm leaning, I'll be honest, Jack, I'm leaning like probably 60-40 that he's gone.
Okay, yeah. I think that's a good call. I would definitely back you up on those numbers. I've seen this before with the Buckeyes. Randy Ayers took Gary Williams' guys and did really, really well. And then Jim O'Brien took Randy Ayers' guys and did pretty well. And then Thad Matta took Jim O'Brien's guys and did well that first year. And now we got Holtmann taking Thad Matta's guys and doing really well. But I really think Holtmann, I think he's a great recruiter. And I think once he gets the guys that he's recruits into his system, I'm thinking we're looking at a pretty good run coming up for the Buckeyes in a lot of marches on future calendars.
Well, I would agree with that. I think the last two guys you mentioned, though, in Thad Matta and Chris Holtmann, both come out of that Butler system. And while Holtmann wasn't directly involved with Matta, it was Matta who was the guy who said, Holtmann's the guy you want in this program. And if you look at what Matta did from the time that he got here, I mean, that Thad Five, that was his entire recruiting class.
Right.
And then you go from a national championship runner-up, you have Big Ten championships, you have some Final Fours, an NIT championship. I believe that Holtmann is the same caliber guy. And he's younger. I mean, he's starting his career at Ohio State younger. I think his enthusiasm and the way he treats his players with respect keeps him in line. You're going to have some talented kids come this way. When you can take Butler to a Sweet 16 in your tenure, I think that, when you're at a bigger program now at Ohio State, there's some I think only good things are going to happen from here on out.
And I do too. And Buckeye Nation will certainly support not only a coach who wins, but even a coach who loses, as long as his kids are good and the program's good. If they're, they won't tolerate tons of losses, but they'll give him the chance to implement his program, implement his system, and they'll give him the shot, and Buckeye Nation will be behind him for sure. But I don't think it's going to take long at all. I think this is a great coach, and we got a really good future ahead of us.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, Jack. And keep in mind the fallout that's going to come with the NCAA. And, we've been reporting, all the stations have been reporting on this for months. You're going to have other players from other schools that are going to want to bail. And they're going to want to come to a clean program, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's a great way to look at it. Yeah, I didn't even think of that.
You got to keep that in mind. They're going to be... There'll be coaches without jobs. There's going to be schools that are going to be on suspension or under the
sanctions,
NCAA
and all sorts
ban.
Of stuff, yeah.
You're talking about a lot of things that are going to change the culture of basketball. But the clean programs, which begs the question, the argument is that with Thad Matta still be the coach here if he had done things not above board. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it also shows that by doing things the right way, eventually that the cream rises to the top. And that's what I like the most about this. And you could see some transfers. Can you imagine some, all-American kids are like, holy crap, this ship is sinking where I am. I'm going to Columbus.
Yeah, going to a great program with great facilities and a good coach. All right, Campy, from our friends over at 105.7 The Zone, you can catch him as he helps produce the Matt McCoy and Jackson and McCoy show from 3 to 7 weekdays over on our sister station, 105.7 The Zone. Campy, thank you always for being our senior sports correspondent and letting us know what's going on over in Buckeye Land.
Always a pleasure, Jack. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right, thanks, Campy.
All right.
Mike Campana again from 105.7 The Zone. You can catch him with Matt McCoy and former OSU QB Stan Jackson, 3 to 7 every weekday, 105.7 The Zone.
With all the number twos out, I want to see how my bracket's doing now.
Okay. Do you have it refreshed?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Well,
I hesitate to look.
Well, why don't you refresh it?
I will.
And then we can we'll see how you's a doing.
All right, that sounds good. And we'll continue with more of The Line next on News Radio 610 WTVN. The full
WTVN, Columbus.
Joe Jewett and Jack DeVos, it's Over the Line on News Radio 610 WTVN. Our friend Ian sitting with us as well.
Hello.
I'll take you on in Popcorn Wars just after 8:30, Ian, so be ready.
Super excited for that.
Hey, so if... What's that?
I was going to tell you guys, I have an actor who's only been in 800,000 movies.
Oh,
so this should be good.
So you're saying there's a chance.
I'm saying there's a chance. I chose an actor tonight whose resume is longer than the Amazon River. So
I'll still find a way to run out of movies after two.
Well, I hope not.
I think I have a guess who it is.
Well, then just keep it under your hat and don't give an advantage away to Mr. Jewett across the table there.
All right. So an iconic candy may be going away. Necco, the maker of the Valentine's Day candy Sweethearts, celebrated their 170th anniversary last year, but that might end up being the last. The company, Necco, which stands for New England Confectionery Company, is looking for a buyer, but if they don't get one in the next 60 days or so, the company may have to lay off all 395 employees and shut down the operations for good.
I'm really sorry for those 300 employees that might lose their job.
Yeah.
But they make crap candy.
That's terrible candy.
Necco wafers are and Circus peanuts are just wrong.
Okay.
They're just
wrong. You put those on the same plane?
Yeah, I do.
The circus peanuts are terrible, but the wafers aren't bad.
Oh, geez.
The ones that spark in the dark, if you stood in front of a mirror and you bit down on it and it sparked, that's the coolest thing in the world.
They also,
it's also radioactive, Ian. It's made out of raw plutonium.
They also make Mary Jane's.
Eating plutonium. That's marijuana.
No, the
Mary
can't.
Jane's.
There's a good market
marijuana
for that right now.
Candy buttons.
Yeah, because what kid doesn't want to eat a button?
And Clark bars.
Isn't the candy and buttons.
I love Clark bars.
Yeah, I'd rather have Fifth Avenue.
Well, I love Clark bars. I'd hate to see them go away.
Well, sorry.
Aren't those just candy buttons where you have to peel it off the paper?
Yeah.
Half the paper with it when you ate it?
You know,
which was terrible.
You know what's also known as? You know what's also known as?
What?
LSD.
No, that's... You keep talking like that, and they won't get a buyer.
Well, or they'll get a buyer from the people who publish High Times.
It'll be terrible. Costco is getting ready for the end of the world, if you've ever wondered what you're going to eat when the apocalypse comes.
I have wondered that.
Costco has you covered. The superstore has rolled out a $6,000 food kit. It features 36,000 servings of food that can feed a family of four for a year. That's according to the online listing. It says, enjoy the comfort in knowing you have the essential foods for your family will need.
Because the apocalypse only lasts a year.
To survive an emergency or a natural disaster.
That would feed my family for a week.
Let's see.
36,000 meals feeds your household for a week?
On a good week, I'm sure.
Jeez!
This stuff has a shelf life up to 25 years. For the freeze-dried items, let's see, what do they have here? Elbow macaroni pasta, instant milk, dehydrated potatoes, beef and chicken, TVP. I don't know what TVP is. As well as freeze-dried
something made by Necco, probably.
Green beans, dehydrated apples, and something called butter powder.
Hey, everything I learned about surviving the apocalypse, I learned from watching Matt Damon in The Martian. I just find some potatoes, grab some poop, and I'm good to go.
Costco advises that the shipping and handling is included in the $6,000 price tag. And that the thing will be shipped straight to your door, quote, packaged discreetly for privacy and shipping so that no one knows that you're ready for the apocalypse. Now, the $6,000, again, that feeds a family of four. If you're a single guy like me, they'll get you set up for $999. Now, if you're also like me and you think math is fun, you probably wonder, well, why isn't it just $4,000 for the family of four? And I don't know. I don't know, because Costco doesn't want to go the way of Necco, so they're trying to pad the book.
So
I have no idea.
Like a fallout shelter with that? $6,000?
No.
$6,000 is kind of pricey. Oh, free shipping. Click. I'm good.
There you go.
That's how you always get them. You get them with the free shipping.
All right, bottom of the hour news to get to here. When we come back, famous birthdays, movie news, and popcorn wars. This is Over the Line on News Radio 610 WTVN. Hey! It's Over the Line on News Radio 610 WTVN. Joe Jewett and Jack DeVos, our buddy Ian Boone with us as well tonight. Top movies at the box office this weekend. Black Panther earned another $27 million. Good once again for the number one spot. Also makes Black Panther the first movie since Avatar to top the weekend charts for five straight weekends.
Oh, wow. Wow, really? It's been that long.
The rest of your top five, number two was Tomb Raider. Number three was the Christian film I Can Only Imagine. Number four, A Wrinkle in Time. And five was the new movie Love, Simon. Famous birthdays. All right. How old do you guys think Queen Latifah is, Jack?
49.
Ian?
53?
48. Comedian, quote-unquote comedian, Dane Cook. Ian?
46.
That's a good one. I'll go $1. 45.
46.
Let's see. Yeah.
Jack, Adam Levine from The Voice and Maroon 5.
48.
Ian.
I want to say like 40.
39. Finally, former Miss America and actress Vanessa Williams. Ian.
34.
Jack.
What did he say?
I don't think he knows who she is.
I don't know who that
59.
Is.
59.
He guessed someone who resigned the Miss America title in 1984, Ian believes, is 34 years old.
I'm just trying to be polite.
She's 55.
It plays to my advantage every now and again.
55.
Okay, then.
Let's play Popcorn Wars.
Yes, let's.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, he's going to do great in Popcorn Wars tonight.
Jack, do you want to explain the game?
Yes. So, Popcorn Wars. It's the over-the-line show's, I guess...
Featured
entertainment. Our challenge to Joe and Ian is to name the film work of a very famous actor or actress. They will take turns naming as many titles that the actor or actress has appeared in as possible. They each have a chance to do a lifeline, which is the hint. They can call for a hint, in which case I will name the rest of the cast in the year the movie came out in the hopes of sparking their memory on what the movie is called. However, if they cannot come up with the name of a film, they are out, and whoever's left has a chance to then name another film and take the win.
Got it.
Got it? You got it over there, Ian?
Good. Solid.
All right. So tonight, the movies of Vanessa Williams. No. Joe mentioned that Queen Latifah is celebrating a birthday today. Well, Queen Latifah has been in many movies. She's even won an Academy Award.
Has she? I don't think she has.
I thought she won one for Chicago.
It was definitely for Taxi.
She didn't win Best Supporting Actress for Chicago?
Maybe she did. I don't think so.
Latifah gained mainstream success and acclaim with her performance in the film Chicago, receiving an Academy Award nomination. She didn't win. You're right. Okay, so. But she did appear in a movie called Hairspray, where she played Motormouth Maybelle. Hairspray had a distinguished cast list, including John Travolta and Michelle Pfeiffer, and the subject of tonight's Popcorn Wars. In the movie, he played Wilbur Turnblad, Tracy Turnblad's father. It's the actor Christopher Walken. The films of Christopher Walken. Ian, as our guest, you may go first or defer to Joe.
You can go ahead, Joe.
Jeez.
Christopher Walken, he's only been in 8 gabillion movies, going all the way back to 1966.
Dead Zone.
Dead Zone is correct.
Wedding Crashers?
I'm sorry?
Wedding Crashers?
Wedding Crashers. Yes, correct.
Deer Hunter?
The Deer Hunter is correct.
Pulp Fiction?
Pulp Fiction is correct.
Suicide Kings?
Suicide Kings is correct.
True Romance?
True Romance. Yes, correct.
I need a hint.
You need a hint.
Yeah.
All right, from 1992, This movie stars Michael Keaton, Danny DeVito, Michelle Pfeiffer.
Oh, Batman Returns?
Batman Returns, correct.
Okay.
All right, you've used your hint.
Could I also have a hint?
Sure, you can have a hint as well. This movie came out in 1999. It stars Johnny Depp, Christina Ricci, Casper Van Dien, Michael Gambon, Miranda Richardson. It was directed by Tim Burton. It's Halloween themed.
Is that Edward Scissorhands?
Edward Scissorhands is incorrect. Joe, this means that you may have your second win ever if you can name one more of Christopher Walken's movies. Again, there's about 800 left.
The Player.
You're going to make me search. Really?
Because I didn't have the Tim Burton movie.
The Player. I'm thinking no, but I'm triple checking. That's a no, Joe. That's a no. He was not in The Player. Christopher, that's a tie. You guys have tied.
What was the one with the hint?
That was Sleepy Hollow.
Oh, Sleepy Hollow.
Sleepy Hollow, the films of Christopher Walken. Here are some of the ones that you missed. Biloxi Blues.
Never would have got that. How old is that movie?
That movie came out in 1988. You said True Romance. He was in Wayne's World 2.
Aww.
He was in a movie called The Prophecy. He was in a movie called Nick of Time. He was in a movie called Things to Do in Denver When You're Dead. Last Man Standing. He was in Mouse Hunt. He was in Ants, which is a Woody Allen animated feature, also starring Sylvester Stallone. He was in Joe Dirt, America's Sweethearts. He was in Catch Me If You Can, a Steven Spielberg movie.
Love that one.
He was in the greatest movie ever made, Zsuzsanna. He was in Man on Fire. He was in Man of the Year with Robin Williams.
I should have got that one.
He was in Balls of Fury. He was in Stand Up Guys. He was in Jersey Boys, another Clint Eastwood movie. He's The Jungle Book. He plays King Louie in Jungle Book. He's in a movie called Nine Lives. He was in a movie called The Funeral. He was in a movie called Wild Side. So there you go, Christopher Walken. You got some of the big ones. You did really well. The ones that you got were certainly well known, but it ends in a tie.
It doesn't count now, Jack, but he was in Seven Psychopaths, wasn't he?
Oh, he was. I think so.
Loved that movie. And that's
Seven Psychopaths?
Yeah, with Sam Rockwell and Woody Harrelson.
Seven Psychopaths.
I think so.
He's on the poster, I'm positive. Yeah.
Seven Psychopaths. Yes, he played Hans.
Oh well,
he's in a lovely movie that we could have watched yesterday for St. Patrick's Day called "Kill the Irishman."
I will take the tie and be happy with it.
Well, that's a tie. Congratulations to Ian and Joe for doing no better than they did when they started. Wonderful.
All right. In that case, let's move forward. We'll hit a break here. When we come back, a Romanian court rejects a man's claim that he is alive. Also, Katy Perry steals a kiss. Details as we continue here. It's Over the Line. News Radio 610 WTVN. Over the Line on News Radio 610 WTVN. Joe Jude and Jack DeVos. Quick reminder, you can always keep up with the show on social media. Go to Facebook, look for OTL Show. You'll find us there. Have you guys noticed that American Idol is back on?
No.
Ian, have you noticed that American Idol is back on?
I'd like not to, but yeah.
But it's back.
Yeah.
I noticed my daughter and wife were watching it the other day, and I went, oh my God, why is this here?
Let's see. Luke Bryan is a judge.
Okay.
Katy Perry and Lionel Richie as well.
Oh, that's not bad. Three decent artists.
Decent lineup. So this past week, I don't know if this was the premiere week or not, but it got a lot of attention because Katy Perry stole a kiss from one of the folks who was auditioning for the show.
She stole a kiss?
Yeah, really. This is a guy named Benjamin Glaze. I believe he was 19 years old. He's from somewhere in Oklahoma.
And his last name is Glaze?
Yeah, like the donut.
Shh, poor kid.
And he was, they were talking, you know, as they get to know the contestant a little bit before they actually do the performance or whatever. And he mentioned that he had never kissed a girl.
Okay.
Katy
Perry's got a song called I Kissed a Girl.
Sure. Well, he's got, you know, his conservatism, his religious convictions, you know, whatever. This was just something that he was saving.
How old is he?
19.
Okay. All right.
And this is something that he was saving, he said, for the person that he was going to marry. He said he wanted his first kiss to be special. And so it was something that he was saving.
Wow. I could see saving your virtue, your virginity or whatever, but just a kiss?
Yeah.
Saving that for the person you're going to marry?
Yeah.
That's pretty extreme, man.
But that's his view.
Okay. Each his own.
That's what he expressed, and Katy Perry sort of coaxed him over to the table for a kid to give him a kiss on the cheek. And then she turned her head real quick and stole that kiss.
Hashtag me too.
Yeah, kind of, right?
Yeah, kind
of. I mean, a lot of people were...
Apparently, if he was saving his lips for his bride,
yeah,
I guess they're engaged.
People were kind of up in arms about it, and I sort of get that. I sort of get that. Now we might say, you know, like you said, we might say, it's a kiss, you know, it's, you know... But for him, it was something, and he'd expressed it was something, and I guess she just thought she was Katy Perry, and so it was okay.
No one else just thinks that's a line.
Hey,
like, hey, I've never been kissed before, by the way, if you were...
When you're Katy Perry, they let you do anything.
Well, that's what I was thinking. It sort of takes me back to Trump and the Access Hollywood tape. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Did she pop some Tic Tacs before she kissed
him? No, I don't believe she did.
Well, then she didn't do it right.
So
you got to do it the way POTUS does.
So he had sort of complained a little bit, really, in the week since that happened. But this week, when the episode aired, he sort of backed off about it. He says he doesn't feel like he was sexually harassed in any way. By the way, he didn't get picked for the show. He was terrible. But he says that the whole thing has brought a little bit more of attention to his music. And so, you know, there it is. And his friends have told him not to worry about it because since his heart wasn't in it, it doesn't count as.
Okay. Well, he's probably got herpes now. So when the cold sores start showing up.
Yeah. When he's hot and he's cold and he's,
yeah,
you
exactly.
know,
it's up and yeah. he's down. He's going to roar.
Yeah. So that's that.
That's that. Over in Romania, Bucharest, Constantine Rilu learned in January that he was dead.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Came as a shock to him. After more than 20 years of working as a cook in Turkey, the 63-year-old returned home to Romania to discover that his wife had officially registered him as dead. He has since been living a legalistic nightmare of trying to prove to authorities that he is, in fact, amongst the living.
Mm.
He faced a major setback on Thursday when a court in the northeastern city of Vaslui refused to overturn his death certificate because his request was filed too late.
Aww.
Decision of the court is final. There is no appeal.
Oh, that's awful.
I am a living ghost, he told the Associated Press in a phone interview on Friday from his home in Barlad. I am officially dead, although I am alive. I have no income, and because I am listed as dead, I can't do anything. They won't give me a job because I'm dead. During the interview, he was deeply emotional, starting off by saying, I think I'm going to cry, to which the interviewer then said, but dead people don't cry. What's going on? And then he went on to voice rage and desire for revenge against his wife, who now lives in Italy. I am not sure whether I am divorced or not, or whether she is just a widow.
I have a feeling this was to claim like an insurance thing.
I am not sure whether she is married to someone else or not. Nobody will tell me. Well, of course not. You're dead. He explained that he first went to work in Turkey in 1992 and returned in 1995 to the first big shock of his marriage, that his wife was cheating on him. In 1999, he decided to return to Turkey for good. The AP was not able to locate his wife to hear her side of the story as to why she registered him as dead when he wasn't. Last December, authorities in Turkey detained him over expired papers, and in January, they deported him to Romania. So that's why he ended up back in Romania in the first place. Upon landing at the airport, he was informed by border officials that he had been officially declared dead and underwent 6 hours of questioning and tests.
Medical tests?
I guess, to make sure he wasn't a zombie.
Oh.
They measured the distance between his eyes to see if it corresponded to an old passport photograph. They asked, because it's, you know, the forensic science in Romania is top notch.
Sure.
They asked him questions about his hometown. You know, where is the corner? What's on the corner of 3rd and Vlad?
Yeah.
Such as where the town hall was. They checked his fingerprints. Oh, good job there, Columbo. And then they decided it was me, he said. They decided that I was.
So did he get his life back?
No. Oh. Authorities in Barlad were less convinced. He spent 6 weeks trying to persuade them to issue him papers so he could be officially listed as existing. They couldn't declare him alive, but they can declare him existing.
All right.
That failed, though. He then asked them to overturn the ruling on the death certificate, which was issued in 2016. And again, the court said no, and that court's decision is final. He wants to file a fresh lawsuit but has no money and suffers from diabetes, which makes everything more difficult. He also said he's been banned for life from returning to Turkey, probably because he's the walking undead.
Yes.
But would like to write to Turkish President Erdogan to appeal the decision. Please, I am actually alive. Let me into Turkey.
I got to imagine.
He's got friends there that can help him in Turkey, so he wants to go back to Turkey.
Where was he when his wife was having him declared dead?
He was in Turkey working as a cook.
Oh. Well, I got to imagine this was like some ploy on his wife's part to sort of collect on an insurance policy.
Probably.
Or to have him declared dead so she could marry this other guy.
So she just said, well, he went to Turkey and he's not coming back, so I'll just declare him dead.
Well, that's grossly unfortunate.
It is.
They don't open like an investigation over there. You can
apparently
just say,
they did,
but they can't. But they said he was too late. He was the statute of limitations.
No. When she filed. Like,
oh, yeah.
To say, hey, he's dead. Like, they're just like, all right, cool, we'll just take your word for it.
Apparently.
That would not fly over here at all.
A dirty, dirty shame.
Oh, well.
Speaking of a dirty, dirty shame, Ian, thanks for being with us tonight. We appreciate it very much.
Okay.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
And thank you for tuning in. Jack, it's been great as always.
Sure.
Our thanks to Mike Campana from 105.7 The Zone for checking in with us tonight as well. And we appreciate you tuning in. We hope you join us again next Sunday night from 7 to 9 as we check out pop culture, lighter stuff from the news, everything that happened in the week before. Top of the hour news ahead on News Radio 610 WTVN.